sick them to a dog, amen, because we're going to get it, right? Come on. So I was this week, I woke up, and I write on Facebook occasionally, and I put some things that I feel like inspired by the Holy Spirit, because that's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. It's all about winning souls for Christ. It's if we get smaller, he gets bigger, amen? And if we let him light up our life, then people will see him in you and me, amen? And that's what it's all about. You know, I used to be a suit-wearing, tie-wearing preacher, and something happened along the way. I found a place that I liked. I mean, I preached for a while, and Pastor knows, and I've been around Pastor, and I'm so thankful he's my friend because I'm praying for him, and he's praying for me. And, you know, I like what I do now because I'm more of an evangelist than me in anything. I have been an associate pastor. I have been a pastor. But I'm sure thankful for pastors, and I'm thankful I'm not one right now, amen? I'm thankful I'm an evangelist. And that's where my office is with the Lord. It's going out on the highways and byways and compelling them to come into the house of God, amen? You agree this morning? Okay, so this week I wrote something, and I said, inspired by him, and I said, God is the bomb, and he always brings the boom that makes you bloom again. Amen? If you let him show up in your life, he will show out and tell you, guide you, lead you, change things in your life. And things you've lost, he's going to bring back. Now, even better. I don't mean that exact thing, but he's going to bring something back better that you have need of. Amen? You agree in that?
Yeah.
Well, come on. Don't be so quiet this morning. Okay. So, I want to tell you a story about 2 weekends ago. I was in Miami, Oklahoma, and I ride with a motorcycle ministry. And we, a bunch of us got together, and we went to a church because we had somebody that joined. And we went to Fairland, Oklahoma, which is up there around Miami. We went to an Assembly of God church, and I wanted to hear the preacher preach, but there were two people who had chosen to be on the mission field. So we were getting to listen to two missionaries, both females, both young, one single, one married. They didn't know each other. But God led them together, not to minister together, but led them to a mission field so that in Brazil and in Turkey, guess who they're winning? Muslims. And they're getting people saved, and then they're getting other people saved. And what they began to talk about was they were afraid at first. They were afraid to go do and go to their places and go have their mission field that God led them to until all of a sudden they decided those are God's kids too. And you got to decide who you're going to love. Faith, hope, and love. What's the greatest, church? Love. Amen. You love them in. You don't chase them in. You got to pray for them. You got to love them. You got to tell them about sin. You got to tell them how to get saved. You got to tell them about Jesus. You got to tell them about the Father. You got to tell them about the Holy Ghost. You got to tell them how Jesus rose again on the third day. You got to tell them how Jesus is at the right hand of the Father today. He's advocating for you right now. Amen. Are we good? So they begin to talk about it. Here's us back there on the back row, 7 of us, got our leathers on, got our do-rags on. I mean, we look like a mess. Pastor mentions us because it honor bound is out of the Assemblies of God. Pastor was talking about us, and then all of a sudden these two ladies get up there, and the next thing you know, our whole row back here is snotting and crying because God started moving and talking to our hearts about we do the same things here with people that nobody wants to deal with. Who did Jesus come to save? Those, the sinners that don't, I mean, he loves them so much, right? He loved you. Look what he's done for you. Look what he's done for me, amen? Okay, so in Genesis 1, you know what it's about. It's about the beginning, right? So this week I put, you know, I woke up and I could think and I know in my spirit that somebody was feeling out of sorts. Somebody, somewhere, you know, that's how God works, right? You know, you can pray for people you don't even know, right? And God honors that prayer, right? I've got somebody in the hospital this morning that I'm believing in a healing for their life. And that's what we do. We pray for those that need prayer. In Genesis 1, it talks about how There was void. It was empty. There was nothing until God moved upon the face of the earth, right? There was void. You know what void means? Not occupied, not inhabited, containing nothing, having no member. It had no form. It had no shape. It had no structure. It had no component of a thing, no mold, no body. Substance. He brought substance into the world when he spoke. He brought light in. He gave life. What's that sound like? That sounds like your life when Jesus Christ showed up in your life. He took nothing and turned it into something, right? He began to give you substance. He began to give you, this is prophetic teaching, I guarantee you. He began to give you life, and he began to teach you, mold you, shape you, put you. You're not even finished yet because he's not done with you yet. Amen? Do you agree? Okay, so one day when we get home, we're going to understand why we've been through what we've been through to get rid of what we had to get what we need. Amen? Woo! Come on, preach it, preacher. So, and in verse 3, he says he brought light. This is not even the message. And then in verse 2, verse 7, what happens? He forms man. He takes the dirt. He gives it shape. He gives it substance. He removes void. He makes it his creation. And he breathes life into man. Because the word says right before that, there was no man to till the earth. There was no woman to till the earth. There was no man, no woman to go tell about what God was doing in their lives and in the future lives. And we fight against the same devil from the beginning, as Jesus said. He's always been a liar, and he's always been a murderer. That's word. And so we have this knowledge in us that we should go and tell people about how good God is. Well, I know. There'll be another time I have to preach. We know about the armor of God, correct? Do we have our armor on this morning? So many times we get so tired. We get so weary. The battle gets hot. So many attacks. We get separated from our fellow soldiers sometimes. All of a sudden, you can't hardly see. You can't hardly breathe. Because it's so hot, and you've got that helmet of salvation on, and you begin to think, I can't see. If I could just breathe, if I could just remove it for a little bit, you begin to take off your armor. Because the battle's too hard. I can't hold the sword. I can't hold my word. I can't hold the sword of the Spirit because I'm so weary, so tired. I've been through so much. I want to give up, and I can't, but I don't know. I got to lay it down. If I only had a drink of water, if I could just... And pretty soon, you have every bit of your armor off under the pressure of life. And when you do that, spiritual death comes. Slowly, he's like a boa constrictor. That's interesting. The enemy begins to squeeze the life out of you if you're not careful. That's why we got to stay prayed up, packed up, ready to go up, knowing that God is our source. Amen. Now, why I'm talking to you about this morning, because this is you here that comes every Sunday. You're the ones that believe in this church. You're the ones that believe in your pastor. You're the ones that hold his hands up. You're the one that care about him. You are the ones who know you're where you're supposed to be today and next Sunday, next Wednesday, whenever, correct? This is for the church this morning. You guys have got to bind closer and closer. I know evangelists get the medal. You got to bind closer and closer and closer together. You got to be formally fit. Interesting. Formally fit. That suit of armor, you all have to be formally fit together to be able to fight the fight. Amen? Oh, movie. Boy, I can see it. 300. Quite a story. There really was that big old bad king that brought all them people. There really was. Now, there was Trojans for sure. Now, I don't know about Leonidas, but I know how they fought. Because they still teach those tactics up there in those military places that teach the higher learnings of the military. They still teach that kind of tactic of how they fought. Shoulder to shoulder, shield to shield, spear and spear and sword. They were some of the baddest fighting people you'd ever met in your entire life. And that's how we are in God. If you'll see you in God like that, you are a soldier in God's army. You have enough, even at your weakest times, you got enough to tell the devil to go to hell. Amen. I said that out loud, but that's where he belongs. You have the authority through Jesus Christ, who went to hell and took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He made the devil run. And you still have the same authority this morning in Jesus Christ, church. You don't hear very many people preaching anymore like this, and they want to tell you hell is hot and heaven is sure. And God is alive and Jesus is too. And the Holy Spirit wants to teach you, guide you, lead you, anoint you afresh and anew this morning. All I said was, I want to be a ball of fire for you, God. I want them to see you in me. I want to be able to preach. It's all my mama's fault. I had a problem when I was a child with one of my eyes. I had a Samuel experience. Hannah, remember Hannah couldn't have a baby? She asked the Lord, if you give me one, I'll give him to you. Well, he did and she did. I had a problem with my eye. Mama would sit on the altar. Might be somebody preaching. She'd go sit on the altar and say, if you'll heal my baby, God, I'm going to give him to you. Well, he did and she did. I ran for years. I was going to sing country music. I was going to be in them old bars. Mama said, no, you ain't, boy. You're going to preach and sing for the Lord. No, I'm not. You know, mamas are the biggest buzz killer you ever found in your entire life. I'd be someplace and I'd hear her praying. Mama, stop praying for me. You're causing me trouble. I'm between a rock and a hard spot. But Mama quit. She wouldn't quit praying. Been lots of hard times. Been lots of troubles, even as a preacher. When you become a Christian, you become a preacher or whatever, and you serve the Lord, you become a target for the enemy, and you got to decide who you are in Him, God, because you can tell the devil to run. And even in your down times, when nobody else seems to care, all I need is Jesus. I care about what people think, but I'm not concerned about what they think, because I know who loves me, and I know He has a plan yet for us. The enemy thinks he stopped us. All he did was make us mad at him, because I'm going to recover, and I'm going to recover all. I want to talk just a little bit about that with him. You know, I can talk forever. You know how preachers are. So back to that story about them missionaries. We're sitting back here on the back row, snotting and crying, pushing a reset. God was pushing a reset button. And all of us, God was, if I could have got down the floor and snotted and cried, I would have. I'm looking for my buddy next to me. His road name is Shackles. My road name is Preacher Man. We never call each other by name. It's our road names. T-Rex, you know, just Freak, and all kinds of names that people who ride Harleys and bikes see each other and wearing this leather and just loving God. I've had people want to walk in somewhere and go, oh, my, till they look at the patch on the back that says Jesus Christ. And so God was pushing that reset button, and I began to think about some things. I want you, if you got your Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10. I begin to think about my life. That's why I mentioned that part about, I thought I was going to be rich in country music. Next thing you know, I'm preaching. And I've ran in circles, and I've met lots of people. You know, we all think we want to meet or get to know people who everybody knows. or somebody would just call me that's famous, or one of those things. But you know what? The only person that matters is Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who you know, except what you know the Lord. That's the main thing. It doesn't matter who you know in this natural. It's who you know in the supernatural. Amen? And so, I never forget when I started preaching, this is, I had such an epiphany, and I call it an apostrophe, like in the movie Hook, an apostrophe. I had an epiphany. I could see something, sitting back here snotting, looking for a tissue in that church 2 weeks ago on the back row. Big old bad Harley rider back there snotting and crying. Tenderizing my heart again. Sometimes we need our heart tenderized again, church. And so, I began to think about some of my life. And I thought, man, Lord, if you showed that up here in the church, on the front of the church, they'd throw me out of the church probably. My life was a mess for a while. But God, look what God does. He takes our sin. He takes our problems. He casts them far as the east is to the west. They're gone. Quit picking up the past and bringing it into your future. Amen? Because your past is gone, correct? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you go back to him and say, well, Lord, I'm sorry for that. What are you talking about? It's gone, correct? So, in verse six, chapter 6, verse 9, when I first began to preach, I used to say this. And there's a reason I'm talking to you about this morning. Because there are going to be people come in here that need you to love them regardless who they are. You need to tell them about what's right and wrong, don't get me wrong. But you're going to have to love them into the kingdom of God, amen? That's for the church to teach them and raise them up and nurture them as you would nurture a child, amen? Pastors, that's what pastors do. He's a scalpel, I'm a sledgehammer, I can guarantee it. He knows how to finely tune it. I don't know because I'm headlong into it, amen? That's my personality. That's my calling. And so, I'm happy in my calling. Verse 9. Know ye not that unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infidels, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Neither thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor violers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And I would stop. Until one day. Like two people sitting right next to each other. Wives, husbands, friends, whatever. You see one of them go, poke them, get their attention, hit them, whatever, like hitting whoever on the arm this morning, getting your attention. There you go. Kicked his chair, got his attention. He said, the Holy Spirit said, read the next verse. And such were some of you. He was talking about me. And I knew what he meant. I was so full of me. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. What he means is he changed your life. He changed you from that to this. He took you from that bad past to your beautiful future. Amen? Am I coming back sometime? Okay. No, that's your job. Okay. We're not going to get anywhere. We are getting somewhere, but I ain't going to get where I wanted to go, but that's okay. Part two next time. I begin to think about amazing grace. You know how we sing that song? It's an amazing song. You know those old songs, those old blood songs, those old songs? You can sing them, and they're amazing, amen? They have something to them. Written all those years ago, they have the blood applied to them, amen? So I wrote something. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. The saved, a drug dealing, lying, brawling, street walking, prostitute, crackhead, drug addict, drunk like me. A wretch like me. I once was dying, had no hope, did not know Jesus, going to hell lost. But now I'm saved, restored, victorious, alive, found. Was without hope, depressed, down and out, had given up, blind. But now I thank God I'm victorious, forgiven, I have eternal life. I've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, now I see. That's really what amazing grace is. By God's amazing grace, church, we are where we are today, that we're not dead and gone to hell, but we've been saved and restored, that we have time yet. I don't know who's saying I don't have any time left. You do. You got time left to do what God wants you to do, even at 90. That amazes me. She's 90 years old. She's full of life, I can tell that. And that's how it's supposed to be. You see, Jesus came to restore us back to God, right? This is simple preaching this morning, but it's just, you need to hear this, I believe. Amen? Sometimes you got to go back so you can go forward. So sometimes you got to remember where you came from to know where you're going. I'm thankful I'm not where I used to be. I'm not where I'm going to be yet, but I know one thing, he's not finished, and I'll get there. Amen? Jesus came to restore man back to God, to give him life and life more abundantly. Word. He is the friend to the friendless, hope to the down and out, balm to bind up the brokenhearted, savior to the lost, comfort to those in need, deliverer of every sin, healer of the sick. You don't have to raise your hand. You've lost your vision. Some have lost your vision. I can do this because, you know what evangelists do, right? They chop down the tree. They split it all up. They make a mess, and they leave it for the pastor. Because I get to leave town. I get to leave town. Amen. Even though I just live down on the lake, I get to leave town. He's got to stay. He gets to stay. He wants to stay. He is a shepherd. He is a leader. He does care. He does have a shepherd's heart. He does have that spirit, that anointing for a pastor. He has that. I'm not saying that just because he's sitting there. That's what I got God bumps. That's what I see in him spiritually. Outward appearance, but I see his heart. He didn't pay me anything. That comes from the Lord. He is a pastor. He has a pastor's heart. He cares. There's a weight to that pastorship. He needs your prayers. You know, we all know the story about David and Ziklag. I just want to say a few things because I'll probably preach on that next time. Maybe. The Lord always changes things. He changed us this morning. I'm used to that. You know, I was thinking about when I drove 1,000 miles to go preach in West Virginia. And boy, I preached for a week. It was probably the hardest preaching I ever preached in my entire life. It was like you couldn't move anything with a sledgehammer. You couldn't, I mean, people were just not moving. It was the most interesting thing I'd ever felt in my life, but I didn't quit. I kept on doing just what I did just a little while ago because that's just my spirit. That's what I do. It's not for an act. It's how I feel. When I feel the move of the Spirit in my spirit, I do what he asked me to do. Preach for a week. Had enough money to get home. I had a place to sleep. I had food to eat. Had just enough money, I knew, to get home. But that last night, church. There's a lot of people in church sitting on the back row. Young lady. Preached for a week. Preached my heart out. But that night, I gave an altar call. That night she stood up. It's been a long time ago, but I'll never forget that night because that's what it's all about. She stood up and the church blew up. They started snotting and crying. And here she comes up the aisle. This is one that they thought would never get saved. But God. But God, church, but God, she walked up and she's still serving God today. Who but God can do such things as these? Who but God can change life that quick? Your situations, your heart, your mind, your soul. That God can change it that quick. And sometimes we ask, why? Why, God? Why? Why aren't you moving right now? It's His time. It's His place. Don't give up. Don't leave. Stay hooked up with God. Keep praying. Keep studying. No, believe. God's going to move in your life. If it's just the one. If that's the only thing I've ever done in this entire life, I have been successful. That's what it's all about. He leaves the 99 and he goes and finds the one. Right there on Facebook. Whoever's watching this is for you. Because God's going to change things in your life. That marriage, those finances, that health, those issues that you're facing, that you don't know what to do. Depression. It's gone in Jesus' name. This morning, church, I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. If you have a need this morning, I'll lay hands on you and pray for you because that's me. I have my oil. I brought my oil. I'll anoint you. We'll have other days. If Pastor Lesby come back, there'll be other days that we'll preach again. We're plowing ground this morning. He wants to cause your fields to be turned upside down so that he can plant seeds in your life. He wants to plow ground in your life to turn it over so he can plant it to renew it. Amen. We've all had loss. God knows that. And I believe this with all of my heart while we're listening to the Holy Spirit right now. That God is getting ready to cause your desert, Facebook as well, your desert to bloom again. He's going to turn the dryness into greenery and luscious plants in life. He's going to change your life. So this morning, whatever you have need of, whatever you need me to pray for, if you want me to pray for you, I will. We'll lay hands on you. Biblically, it says we can do that. And anoint you and pray for you. Father, we thank you this morning for your mercy, your compassion. We thank you, Father, for all the things you're going to do and have done for us. Thank you, Father, that you're the restorer of the breach. That whatever's been lost has to be returned. And Father, we tell the enemy this morning he has to pay it in interest. That it comes back to us more and better than ever before. That Father, you anoint this church to win those that nobody else can win it. Father, because at the doorstep of this church are laid souls, and I see them. That, Father, you would cause them to come in. We call them in for the north, south, east, and west to come into this place, Father, in the fire of the Shekinah glory to fall upon this place. That, Father, they'd think the building is on fire, but it's you, Father. That, Father, this should be the place in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, that Azusa Street could happen again. We thank you for your presence, Lord. And we thank you for the answers of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor, 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock. Any needs before I give mic back to Pastor? There'll be days I'll come back. If Pastor has, I'll come back. Amen. Amen, Pastor.
All right, let's just have a word of prayer for our evangelist and my friend, Lloyd Bickle, preacher man. Father, we thank you for our brother. We thank you for the word that he gave us. We thank you for the anointing that's upon him. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing that we had in hearing his message today. And we do look forward to him coming back. We pray, Lord, that you'd watch over him as he travels around this world on two wheels, unlike my four, and keep him safe and be glorified in his life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the